Welcome back. In this intermediate Ableton Live 12 session, we're building a proper jungle and drum and bass reese patch using only stock devices, and then we're going to arrange it in a DJ-friendly way, so it actually plays well in a mix. The goal is two things at once: sound design that hits like a record, and structure that feels predictable and useful for DJs. By the end, you'll have a bass patch with stereo movement on the mids, a mono solid sub, some controlled bark in the mid-range, and a full track skeleton. A 32-bar intro, 64 bars for drop 1, a 32-bar break, 64 bars for drop 2, and a 32-bar outro. That 32, 64, 32, 64, 32 is not random, it's the language of DJ phrasing. And when you commit to it early, your automation and your variation stop being chaos and start being intention. All right, let's set the session up. Set your tempo somewhere between 170 and 175 BPM. I'll go 174, because it sits right in that modern jungle and DNB pocket. Choose a key that behaves nicely with Riesses. F minor and G minor are classics for a reason. They tend to keep the low end feeling weighty, without fighting the rest of the mix too much. One quick coach move before we build anything. Work in loop blocks first. Make an 8 or 16 bar mix reference loop that has kick, snare, hats, bass, and one tiny effects element. If that loop feels good at low volume, you're basically guaranteed it will translate better when it's loud. Now let's build the reese. Create a new MIDI track and load Wavedable. Set voices to 1. I know you're thinking, wait, aren't Riesses wide? They are, but we're going to create width in a controlled way later, after we protect the sub. When you start with unison and huge stereo inside the synth, you're basically gambling your low end. In Wavedable, set oscillator 1 to a basic saw, octave down at minus 1. Set oscillator 2 to the same saw, also minus 1 octave. Now detune oscillator 2, lightly, start around plus 10 to plus 18 cents. Not 40, not 60. If you over-detune, you don't get a jungle reese anymore, you get that trance super saw wobble. The reese is about tension and thickness, not woo-ah chorus. Now movement. This is where a lot of people either overcomplicate it, or they make it random. Let's keep it musical and tempo-aware. Use LFO 1 to modulate oscillator 2 to tune just a little. Set it slow, like 0.10 to 0.30 Hz. Think drift, not wobble. The target feeling is alive and slightly unstable, like a piece of hardware warming up. Then use LFO 2 to modulate filter frequency, and this time we can sync it to the project. Try half bar rate to start. If it feels too busy, go to 1 bar. Here's a test. Mute your drums for a second. Does the bass movement still imply a pulse? If it feels detached, your LFO rate is probably not reinforcing the groove. Now the filter. In Wavedable, choose a low-pass style like LP24, or a more character option if you see something like an MS2 style. Put the cutoff somewhere roughly in the 200 to 800 Hz range, depending on the note you're playing. Add a bit of resonance, maybe 10 to 25%. You want bite, not a whistle. If the synth has drive on the filter, a touch can help, but keep it tasteful. We're going to do most of the attitude in the post-chain. Now after Wavedable, we build the jungle part. Saturation, filtering, width. Then clean up EQ. Drop on saturator. Set it to analog clip. Drive somewhere like 3 to 8 dB. Turn on soft clip. If it needs a little extra edge, turn on color, but keep your ears on the high mids. This is where harshness starts. Then add auto filter. You can keep it low pass, but if you want instant reese-ness, try a bandpass. Bandpass can make the mid-range speak in a really vocal way. Don't worry about automating it yet. Just set a good starting point. Now add chorus ensemble. Set it to chorus mode. Rate around 0.15 to 0.35 Hz, depth low to medium, and mix around 10 to 30%. Here's the teacher warning. Chorus is amazing, but it will cloud the low mids if you let it. We'll manage that with our rack split in a minute. Then EQ8. High pass gently around 25 to 35 Hz to clean rumble. If it's muddy, look around 200 to 400 Hz and carve a bit. If it needs presence, a small boost somewhere between 900 Hz and 2K can wake it up. And if you get hissy or brittle, tame 3K to 6K slightly. Small moves. Reese bass gets ugly when you do big boosts. Now we do the crucial club step. Mono safe low end. Group your instrument and effects into an instrument rack. Create two chains. One called SUB, one called MID. On the SUB chain, use operator. Oscillator A, sine wave. Keep it simple and stable. Set the octave to minus 1, maybe minus 2 depending on how low your key is and where your bass notes sit. Add EQ8 after it, low pass around 90 to 120 Hz. That's your crossover zone. Then add utility. Set width to 0%. This is non-negotiable if you want the track to survive mono playback and big systems. Your sub needs to behave like a pillar. On the MID chain, put your wavetable Reese chain. Add EQ8 and high pass it around the same crossover, 90 to 120 Hz. Now the MID can get wide and nasty without dragging the sub around. Add utility on the MID chain and set width somewhere like 120 to 160%, but promise me you'll check it in mono later. Wide is only good if it still holds together collapsed. Now map some macros. This is where your workflow speeds up like crazy. Map a macro for MID filter cutoff. Map resonance. Map chorus mix. Map saturator drive. Map LFO amount to filter, so you can make it more animated in fills. Map MID width. Map sub-level, map mid-level, and here's a pro mindset shift. Pick one anchor note and commit early. Most of your sub-hits should live on the root. Let the MID layer do the drama. If your bassline feels messy, simplify the sub first, not the mid. Now let's write a bassline that actually rolls. Create a 2-bar MIDI clip. 2 bars is a sweet spot for DNB because it loops with identity. Start with hits that respect the kick and snare. Think syncopation, offbeats, and little pickups. Keep the sub mostly on the root note, and occasionally touch the 5th or the minor 7th for flavor. The MID layer can move a bit more, but the sub should feel like it's pinning the whole tune down. Another Ableton trick: use velocity as musical movement. If you route velocity to slightly open the filter, suddenly repeated notes don't feel static. It's subtle, but it's the difference between MIDI loop and performance. Now, the moment that makes it feel like jungle: resampling. Create an audio track called Resample Reese. Set its input to resampling. Solo your bass bus, or even just the MID chain if you want to keep the sub separate. Record 8 to 16 bars while you perform the macros. Ride cutoff, drive, and chorus mix. Don't try to make it perfect. You're looking for magic moments. Once it's recorded, decide how you want playback handled. If you want it clean and stable, turn warp off. If you keep warp on, be careful with Complex Pro, because it can smear low end. Then chop the best moments into a new audio clip. Use fades and clip gain to tighten it. Now it's starting to sound like Audivo, not a synth running. Optional spice. A tiny bit of redux on the resampled mid can add that crunchy halo. Light touch. You're not trying to destroy it. If you want extra grit without losing your main body, duplicate the resampled mid. Put redux, then overdrive, then a low pass auto filter on the duplicate, and blend it super low underneath. That's your controlled battery acid layer. Now glue the bass to the drums. On the bass group, add compressor. Turn on sidechain and choose your kick as input. Ratio around 2:1 to 4:1. Attack 5 to 15 milliseconds. Release 60 to 120 milliseconds. Aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction. You want space for the kick, not a pumping house effect. If your snare needs more room, either add a second compressor key to snare, or use a ghost trigger track so the ducking is consistent and intentional. And for groove, if your drums have swing, you can use groove pool, but keep it subtle on the bass. A really good rule is, let the breaks carry the micro timing, keep the sub notes tight. Punchy low end loves discipline. Now we go to arrangement view and build the DJ-friendly structure. Before you place anything, add locators every 8 bars. Literally every 8 bars. Label them like a DJ would read a waveform. Hat switch, bass fill, crash plus echo, sub mutes, filter opens. This prevents random automation. You'll still have creativity, but it will land on phrases that make sense to a DJ. Section 1, 32-bar DJ intro. That's about 45 seconds at 174. Keep it mixable. Drums, hats, ghost percussion, maybe the filtered break. Keep bass minimal or filtered, and do not bring full sub in yet. The goal is clear beats for beat matching. In Ableton, you can high-pass the drum bus and slowly sweep it down, and keep the bass bus sub-muted using utility until you're ready. Think of the intro as two clean 16-bar zones. First 16, just drums and minimal texture. Second 16, introduce one signature element, like a vocal stab with echo or a little Reese teaser filtered way up. That way, it's not empty, but it's still mix-friendly. Now drop 1, 64 bars. Bring in full drums and full bass, but keep the first 16 bars a little simpler. That makes the drop land hard, and it gives DJs a stable phrase to lock onto. Every 8 or 16 bars, make a clear change. A filter opens, a call and response happens, a 1-bar fill, a break slice swap. This is how you keep energy without confusing the room. Here's a slick technique: Call and response without rewriting MIDI. Keep the same clip, but automate filter cutoff and drive. Bars 1 and 2 are darker, bars 3 and 4 are brighter and nastier. It sounds like composition, but it's basically macro automation. Next, the break, 32 bars. Pull the sub out for 8 to 16 bars. Keep a filtered res or atmosphere so the tune doesn't collapse. If you want a breakdown that still mixes well, keep a filtered hat or break pattern going. Save the no drums moment for a short 4 to 8 bar spotlight, not the whole section. Try a halftime illusion. Don't change tempo, just slow the bass movement. Set your LFO rate to 1 bar or even 2 bars. Simplify the bass hits, and it will feel like it's gone halftime. Then when the drop returns, snap the LFO back to the faster synced rate. Instant impact. Now drop to 64 bars. Heavier variation. You can keep the same core sound, but change the behavior. This is a great place to use two MID personalities. Inside your instrument rack, duplicate the MID chain. Make MID a smooth and round. Less drive, darker filter, less chorus. MID be brighter and more aggressive. More drive, higher cutoff, maybe a touch more chorus mix. Then map chain selector to one macro. Here's the key, only switch at 8 or 16 bar boundaries. Never mid-phrase, that's how it stays DJ readable. Also, you can create the feeling of a new section with tiny rhythm edits. Move one key bass hit earlier by a 16th once every couple bars, or add one answer note at the end of each 4 bars. Micro changes read huge in a club. Finally, the 32 bar DJ out row. Strip elements gradually. Keep drums clean and stable for mixing out. Remove the sub early so it doesn't clash with the next track. Make the last 16 bars basically a Tools version. Drums plus a restrained mid texture, no heavy bass. DJs love that because they can loop it, and your track becomes more playable. Now do the quality checks that actually matter. First, mono check. Put utility on the master and set width to 0. Does the bass still feel consistent? If it collapses or the low end wobbles, reduce modulation before the sub and mid split, and recheck your crossover. Second, low volume check. Turn your monitors way down. Can you still read kick and snare clearly against the bass? If not, you probably need less 200 to 400 Hz in the bass, or a slightly stronger sidechain, or simply fewer bass notes stepping on the backbeat. Third, reference test. This audio version is shortened for playback.